As I mentioned at the beginning of Mass, today we are given an opportunity, and a rare one, to celebrate a Saint's Feast Day on a Sunday. Normally speaking, unless we're celebrating a normal solemnity, for example, let's say if the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, which happens later on this month, were to fall on a Sunday, that solemnity would trump the Sunday. But it is never the case that a typical Saint's Feast Day is allowed to be celebrated as the Sunday Mass. But because the Holy Father, Pope Benedict, is so intent on us celebrating this year of the priest with as much adulation and fanfare as possible, he gives us this unique opportunity to pray and think about the life of this immense patron saint of parish priests. And I should make mention here too that while St. John Vianney is the patron saint of parish priests, that's his current title, by June 19 next year, at the end of the year of the priest, the Holy Father will change his title to not only be patron saint of parish priests, but to be the patron saint of all priests, which is a tremendous honor considering that 95% of priests who are canonized in the Catholic Church, actually I should say 99.9% of all priests who are canonized as saints in the Catholic Church are priests of religious orders. They're Dominicans and Franciscans and Jesuits. We joke often in the diocesan priesthood that in 2,000 years of diocesan priests, only one of us has ever been canonized. Right? Tells you something, doesn't it? Maybe there's something about the priesthood that causes so much wonder in our society today, so much intrigue. Certainly I know when I travel and I am looking for my gate at the airport, I can tell everyone looking, hoping I'm on their flight. And I have people as I'm walking down the aisle, oh, Father, glad you're with us. You know, or if there's turbulence, they always turn to me on the flight, can you do something about this? I remember so well one of my very good friends was on K Street up in Washington one morning. He was going to an appointment, and there was a woman who came barreling out of a convenience store on K Street with a clear plastic bag, a trash bag that was clear, full of lottery tickets. And she stood right next to him at K Street and 15, left across the street, and she looked at him and smiled, and she said, you know, Father, do you know what tonight is? And he says, no. He says, I don't. She says, tonight is Powerball. $159 million. And she held up the bag of tickets. The folks at the office sent me on an errand, so I got them tickets, the lottery tickets. And he goes, oh, well, I hope it works out for you. Father, I was wondering, and she held the bag up to him, do you think I could rub you for luck? There's something about priests that really cause all kinds of stirs in society. I know as a young priest, I think a lot of times people come up to me and they ask me if I'm on my way to a Halloween party. A lot of times they don't think that I really am a priest. Right? You're too young to be a priest. Right? Who knows what really causes this intrigue. But when you think about it really, when we get down to the bare bones of the priesthood, it is true that by his ontology, the state of his soul, the priest is ordained to offer sacrifice. His first function, however, is to preach. And over all of that, the ultimate end of his entire life is for the pastoral care of souls. It reminds me of a time when three priests were visiting Pope St. Pius X in the earlier part of the last century. They came to the Apostolic Palace of the Vatican, and they all lined up to meet the Holy Father. And he asked the first one, so, Father, what do you do? And he says, I'm the chancellor of my diocese. And the Holy Father said, oh, very impressive. And then to the next he says, and you? Your Holiness, I am a canon lawyer and a professor of dogmatic theology at the seminary in my diocese. Oh, very impressive. Thank you for coming. And then to the last he said, and you? And this priest, with no real resume, simply said, Abeo cura animarum, which Latin for I have care of souls. I'm a parish priest. And Pope St. Pius X got down on one knee in front of that priest and he said, Father, give me your blessing. This is the esteem that we in the priesthood hold for the parish priesthood. In fact, today as we celebrate the feast day of St. John Vianney, we're reminded of his very famous line. He said, simply when asked about the priesthood, he said, what is it really, Father Vianney? He said, the priesthood is the love of the heart of Jesus. I'll say it again. The priesthood is the love of the heart of Jesus. Now, we can mean that in one of two ways. For one, we could say that in order to be a priest, one has to have the love of the heart of Jesus in order to take on this immense vocation and work. And on another level, we could also say that the life and the work of a priest is the manifestation of the love of the Sacred Heart, that the love of the Sacred Heart has for all of us. You know, often I think that if it weren't for the work of priests offering the sacrifice of the Mass to our Heavenly Father in heaven, if not for that, perhaps might God not smote out the entire world? Think about the times in which we live. Amazing, amazing times. Times when perhaps we should be celebrating advances in morality, having all of the availabilities of every technology, it seems, ever imaginable. And yet so many of these things have led us to such depravities. And yet we live in times that are just so tumultuous, so much uncertainty. I've had friends who said to me, you know, Father, not that God really needs an excuse, but if he wanted to end it all now, I wouldn't hold it against him. And I said, you know, for it not the prayers of contemplative nuns in the cloister, adoring Jesus in front of the Blessed Sacrament, and the fact that at every moment of every day, somewhere in the world, some priest, no matter where he is offering Mass to the Father to call down his mercy on the world, perhaps for not those things, might it not all end all so suddenly? And many of us, in fact, like my friend could say, justifiably so. It is amazing to think what priests actually do in the world. To actually take an ordinary piece of bread, an ordinary altar wine, and transform it by words and intent into the actual body and blood of Christ. St. John Vianney, when he used to say Mass in the town of Ars in the 19th century, was famous for his reverence during the Mass. He would tremble at the words of consecration. In fact, they said that there was hardly a Mass when he didn't shed tears, aware of the profound and awesome mystery that he was performing on behalf of God's people to the Father. So what about this great saint? An amazing example for us parish priests. St. John Vianney spent between 11 to 16 hours every day of his priesthood hearing confessions. Imagine that. 11 to 16 hours a day just hearing confessions alone. He founded an orphanage in his time. His personal asceticism was renowned amongst all of the priests in his diocese, sometimes eating only boiled potatoes and small pieces of barley loaves, fasting and mortifying himself for the sake of his people. Something that many of you do not know that priests are supposed to. In fact, I've been very blessed to be assigned with priests who do the exact same thing, taking on personal mortifications for all of you. Sometimes doing your penances that we give you in the sacrament of penance, just in case you don't do them yourselves. Making particular sacrifices so that God may have mercy on you and on all of us. St. John Vianney came to Ars in the year 1818. And there's a very famous story associated with his arrival there. Ars is and still is was, certainly back then, a way out of the way town. St. John Vianney had trouble finding Arles. He got lost on his way there. So members of the town decided to go out and look for him. And they were led by a little boy who was meandering through the fields, just looking for any sign of life out there. And finally they saw a man in a black robe with a small little briefcase walking their way. So the priest went out to meet the curé of Arles. And he asked him, "Are you Monsignor Vianney?" And he says, "Yes." And he says, "Are you looking for our town?" He says, "Yes, I'm from Arles, and we're all from Arles. Come, let's go." And there's a statue now in the very spot where this happened. The boy is pointing in the direction of Arles. St. John Vianney is pointing to heaven. He said to the young boy, he says, "My little friend, you have shown me the way to Arles. Now I will show you the way to heaven." And that's exactly what priests are supposed to do in their care of souls. Could you imagine that by the time St. John Vianney died in 1859, that 20,000 persons a year would come to Arles, spend 3 to 5 minutes to have their confession heard by him? The French government had to set up different logistical arrangements and train schedules and bus schedules just to make the accommodation for those who would come to Arles, by wagon, by cart mostly, many on foot. 20,000 persons every year would come to the saintly priest, if only just for a few moments, to have their confession heard. He was a master of the spiritual life. And we also know that he was and is an arch enemy of the devil. There are well-documented stories during his life when St. John Vianney, in the middle of the night, would be literally thrown out of his bed by the devil because of the devil's anger at him for the number of souls he was reconciling back to God. On one occasion, in fact, St. John Vianney's bed was set on fire by the devil, even though St. John Vianney never lit a candle in his own bedroom, only depending on the moonlight and the sunlight during the day, because he was never in his room except for a few hours of sleep between sessions of hearing confessions. And this, of course, reminds us, too, of the spiritual combat that we are all in, but in particular, the spiritual combat that priests in particular fight every day. Many people think that these ideas of spiritual combat, unfortunately popularized by movies like The Exorcism or Psycho, are some just imaginary figments of what priests have to deal with. I've been to an exorcism. They're real. I have prayed over persons as a priest, exorcising demons from them. They are real. And many people think that these are figments of our imagination, that the evil one is just some funny idea, some cartoon character. He is not. If you want a good reminder of how powerful the devil is, you haven't spent enough time staring at him on the crucifix, because that's what it took to dispel his power from this world. And so we become so inured, so numb to the realities of the evil one in our time. And there is evil all around us. But thanks be to God for the priesthood and the graces of the sacraments, which are our primary instruments for helping us be protected from these evil influences in our day. This is nothing new. This goes back even before Adam and Eve. And yet, in our period of time in history, we live in such a materialist culture, when we are so unaware of spiritual realities going on in our times, so many people do not even realize that they are actually in the cohorts of the devil, even without realizing it. Their particular lifestyles, their private sins, or their so-called private sins, peace they have made with him in so many different ways, and yet it is the example of priests like St. John Vianney that call us back to this purity of heart and this love for the Eucharist. one last word about St. John Vianney, and I want him to speak today. He certainly has plenty to say to us. He loved the Holy Eucharist with an intense love. I had mentioned earlier that he rarely said Mass without having tears for what he knew what he was doing at the Holy Altar. He insisted that his parishioners come to Mass early, properly dressed, and stay for a few minutes after in the church in silence to make thanksgiving. He insisted on such things. Maybe you wonder why we do too. We have good examples in canonized saints who have done the same. And he said it was so important to make appropriate thanksgiving for the immense gift of charity that we had just received in Holy Communion. The manner in which we receive and the dispositions we bring to the moment. So these are his own words to close, words of St. John Vianney himself. He once said, "If you want an idea of the greatness of the merit of the, in the Holy Mass, it suffices for me to tell you with St. John Chrysostom that it rejoices the whole court of heaven. The Mass relieves the poor souls in purgatory. It brings all manner of blessings upon the world and gives more glory to God than the sufferings of all the martyrs, the penance of all the solitaries, and all the tears they have shed since the beginning of the world and will do till the end of the ages. The reason is clear. All these actions are done by sinners, more or less guilty, while in the holy sacrifice of the Mass, it is the man God, equal to his Father, Jesus, who offers him the merit of his death and passion. All these works are the works of men. The Mass is the work of God. Martyrdom is a sacrifice man makes of his life to God, and the Mass is the sacrifice of his body and blood, which God makes to man." So you see from this that the Holy Mass is of infinite value. Let us too notice in the Gospel that at the moment of Christ's death, many conversions were wrought. The good thief received the promise of paradise. Many of the Jews were converted. And Gentiles struck their breasts, saying that he was indeed the Son of God. The dead arose. The rocks were rent, and the earth trembled. Through the intercession then of St. John Vianney, the patron saint of parish priests, soon to be the patron saint of all priests, let us return to our basic innocent love for Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. May all of us learn to grow in love for him and to manifest this love outwardly so that all who might meet us know that Christ reigns in our hearts and that it is he who must be loved above all others. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee.